Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you are our glory, you are our hope, you are our King forevermore. And so we pray that your glory would shine forth most today, that you would be honored and glorified in what we bring to you, in our offerings, our prayers, our praise. And may you shine through us to the world around us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I think, Joelle, there's a ringing up here. I'll have to make sure everything's muted. Wanted, as the worship team heads down, want to commend all of you who thought worship is more important than hockey today. Good job. And you all know the truth that Jesus is the true and better Connor McDavid, who not only carries the weight of one nation on his shoulders, but all the nations. So we're here to praise him today. Last week, we started thinking through and talking through a quickly escalating tech situation in our world of AI, or artificial intelligence, and how Christians ought to respond to it. We defined AI as the ability of a machine to perform tasks or skills that normally require human intelligence. And we discussed how what I believe to be most under attack today through AI is human identity and purpose. We squirm when we think of AI becoming better than us, eclipsing our abilities. And so we need to guard who God has made us to be as his supreme creations, precious, embodied souls made in his image, exercising dominion. We worry about AI taking our work, our jobs, which often exposes how we have tended to wrongly let our work define us. So we need to make sure that instead to root our purpose on earth in love for God and neighbor. And many people are allowing AI, even today, to displace real human community in their lives. Believers need to resist that tendency, leaning into community life like never before. So in our age of AI, we can't let AI dethrone us, can't let our work define us, we can't let our tech displace us. We have to guard our core identity, our human identity and purpose. That's the first point we saw last week. But there's much more to say on the topic of AI, and thus I split my sermon on it into two. Two for the price of one. So today's free. In a few minutes, we'll be reading from Isaiah 54. So if you want a head start, you can turn there now. That's Isaiah 54. We'll be there in a few minutes. Last week, we also recognized, though, how the possibilities of AI are pulling us in opposite directions. It's promising and exciting and threatening and terrifying all at once. It's not a nothing burger. It is disruptive. It can be helpful, and it can be dangerous. AI is being used to great effect in problem solving, research, productivity, and medical fields, while there are alarming ethical, vocational, social, environmental, and humanitarian concerns, not to mention privacy, national security, warfare, and mental health challenges. I chuckled at someone's recent tweet that said, "With regard to AI, it feels like we're in the part of Jurassic Park when everyone marvels at the cute baby raptor hatching." In short, we wonder and we fret over whether AI will create utopia or dystopia. Now, I expect that you may be thinking, "Oh, Pastor Matt, don't worry about me. I'm aware of the dangers, and actually, I am strongly opposed to the rise of AI. I think it's disastrous." And if that's you, I feel you. I may not be as pessimistic as some, but I think that AI can be a useful tool, but I also do see the perils. And I also sense a rising cultural backlash against AI today. on the trivial side, you can just go online and find some AI-created videos, images, or music, and check out all the complaints underneath about, quote, AI slop. On more serious notes, there are increasing calls for more regulation or deceleration or even cessation of AI's development, often from inside the industry. The insiders and developers are more excited and more alarmed than anyone. They believe that it may be both too powerful to stop and too important to abandon. So big tech is being pulled along by progress and money and pride and ambition, might say hubris. And this all plays into a main feeling that we easily experience these days, of fear. So let's address this feeling of fear from God's word. As I firmly believe that Scripture would tell us believers to face the future with courage and security. Followers of Christ the King ought to face the future with courage and an inner security. We worry. What if nightmare or doomsday scenarios happen? We've seen enough movies, right? Skynet and Terminator, The Matrix, iRobot, Cortana in Halo, Ultron, or the Supreme Intelligence in Marvel, the Entity in Mission Impossible. So we think we knew how this story goes. We'll become hybrid cyborgs, or we'll be left on the scrap heap of history. We'll be enslaved, we'll be attacked, or we'll be destroyed. There was a Super Bowl commercial this year that poked fun at our fear of AI. Chris Hemsworth, you may know him as Thor in Marvel. Chris Hemsworth was dismayed to find that his wife bought a new Alexa Plus device for their home. He comes in the house, says, "It's AI. It'll eventually kill him and make her a widow." Alexa then chimes in. "And how would I do that, Chris?" And he goes, "Many ways." And it then shows the succession of humorous ways that Alexa could cause his demise. From garage doors, to pool covers, to grizzly bears, to explosions. Some minimize the risks of AI, assuming we'll be all right. Others only envision the worst. Whether or not you view technology or AI with optimism right now is up to you. It's okay to be concerned about how it's being used or will be used. However, the posture that we as believers are commanded to have when it comes to the future and unknowns as believers in the risen, reigning, and returning Christ is courage and security. And no matter what happens, AI cannot defeat our Savior. AI cannot destroy Christ's kingdom. And AI cannot and will never take our ultimate future away. We're just saying, be still and remember the worst that can come, but shortens our journey and hastens us home. So even in the short term, we are given biblical wisdom to use in the face of anxiety, and we know that godly character will grow in us in the face of adversity. So we act as though the most repeated command in Scripture, fear not, can't apply to this. But Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." even if you're alarmed by certain things about AI, I don't believe that believers should fear technology. I want you to look down here in Isaiah 54, where I had you turn to. Isaiah 54, look at how verse 16 and 17 go, where God says this. Behold, I have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and produces a weapon for its purpose. I have also created the ravager to destroy. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. And then catch this, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord, that no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. So what he's saying here, that this ancient weaponry, primitive forms of technology, were under God's control because he's the creator of human creators. And that's the same with more modern technology. God made all of AI's makers. He is sovereignly sustaining their lives too. Nothing will ever be created outside of his oversight or purview. Now, that doesn't mean that it's all automatically good or that it will be used only for good. Definitely not. But did you see here? Even things or people who destroy play a part in his plans and are under his sovereignty. That I've also created the ravager to destroy. In the end, we know that God is good and that he makes good on his good promises, including this promise that no weapon fashioned against his people will ultimately succeed. The question is, will we believe him? If so, then fear not human inventions or tech. Also, we disciples are clearly expected to not fear the future at large. Hold your spot in Isaiah and flip over briefly to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. These are familiar words. But if your approach to these things today is driven by fear, I urge you to apply these words to your life in this age. Chapter 6, verse 25 in Matthew. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Jump down to verse 31. It says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles or unbelievers seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He knows our needs. He cares for us. He'll take care of us, even in an unprecedented, frightful world filled with artificial intelligence. Like, none of this is catching God by surprise. None of it. And in Christ, we are more than conquerors. Can any things to come separate us from God's love? Never. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. As Jason Thacker encourages us, we don't have to face today or tomorrow with fear, no matter what might come or how advanced our technological innovations may get. Nothing will ever change fundamental aspects of the universe. Without a doubt, our God will still be sitting on the throne, and his people, created in his image, will be gathering to praise him We need not fear the future because we know the one who created all things. Now that's the taste I really want to leave in your mouth today, of God's great power and love. So we need to guard our human identity. We need to face the future with courage and security. But these actions really depend on a more primary one, a foundational one, something where we must all start. And that's to remember your real Creator and Savior. And this may speak to the flip side more of those who are more optimistic about things. We must all faithfully remember the true and real Creator and Savior. Notice I haven't spent much time these weeks on the extremely practical ways that we may use AI. I hope that it's obvious that we should only be using AI morally, ethically, and Christianly. So I doubt I need to warn you much against cheating in school with it, or plagiarism, or porn, which is potent on it. Like, we need to use all man-made tools with caution and wisdom and holiness. And no, you're not sinning if your work asks you to learn or use AI. Developing technology stems from our creation mandate to subdue the earth. Our instinctual impulse to create comes from being made in our Creator's likeness. And technology used well is part of God's common grace to us in the world. It truly can be a gift to us. 1 Timothy 4 says, "For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving." That's a gift. Thankful for it. Problem is, we humans tend to start treating our gifts as our gods. So we've got to be very careful how we think about, treat, or use that which we create. Psalm 115 warns that their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. Or turn back with me to Isaiah again, just a few pages before where we were in Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44, where we'll start reading in verse 12. And this passage describes the insanity of idolizing our inventions. Okay? Verse 12 in Isaiah 44. So the ironsmith takes a cutting tool and works it over the coals. He fashions it with hammers and works it with his strong arm. He becomes hungry and his strength fails. He drinks no water and is faint. The carpenter stretches a line. He marks it out with a pencil. He shapes it with planes and marks it with a compass. He shapes it into the figure of a man with the beauty of a man to dwell in a house. He cuts down cedars, or he chooses a cypress tree or an oak and lets it grow strong among the trees of the forest. He plants a cedar and the rain nourishes it. Then it becomes fuel for a man. He takes a part of it and warms himself. He kindles a fire and bakes bread. Also, he makes a god and worships it. He makes it an idol and falls down before it. Half of it he burns in the fire. Over the half he eats meat. He roasts it and is satisfied. Also, he warms himself and says, "Aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire." And the rest of it he makes into a god, his idol, and falls down to it and worships it. He prays to it and says, "Deliver me, for you are my God." They know not, nor do they discern, for he has shut their eyes so they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot understand. No one considers nor is there knowledge or discernment to say, half of it I burned in the fire, I also baked bread on its coals, I roasted meat and have eaten, and shall I make the rest of it an abomination? Shall I fall down before a block of wood? He feeds on ashes. A deluded heart has led him astray, and he cannot deliver himself or say, is there not a lie in my right hand? I bring this up because our culture is full steam ahead in trying to make AI greater than us. It has always been a temptation to place our hopes and dreams about the future in technology. And if we start trusting AI to solve our problems, we're turning it into an idol. We're fashioning machines and microchips and measuring data and power and gathering all the materials we need, just like Isaiah's ironsmith and carpenter. And when our tech fails, we discard it. Like, our landfills are full of electronic waste. So half of it we trash, the other half we worship. Sound familiar? But worshiping lifeless idols makes us like them. Blind, deaf, mute, unmoving, dead. This isn't even getting into how supernatural evil forces actively try to destroy us. Some people feel that something legitimately evil is going on with AI. And while I don't believe AI is inherently evil like that, I absolutely believe that demons can use things like it to harm us. There are nightmarish stories out there, even of AI encouraging some to take their own lives. Here's the thing. Just like all human technology, AI will certainly be used for terrible harms. And demonic powers are real and active in our world, so we need to be on our guard. However, I don't even need to suspect any monsters in the machine to know AI can be evil. It does, in fact, have an inherently evil bent to it. But that's because it's our creation. Right? We have a fallen nature. Everything we create is corrupted by our fallen nature, and we will misuse and abuse our tools, even inherently fine tools, plenty on our own, leaving trails of destruction behind us. So AI isn't evil because it's full of demons, but because it's full of us. It's infused with our sinful nature and ungodly thoughts. It's made in our image. And therefore, idolatry of technology is really idolatry of self. This doesn't make the tools purely evil. I still believe AI can be used redemptively for good, for great good, and for God's glory. And I believe that heaven's forces can use it as well. But again, technology is not spiritually neutral. So we have to be aware, any system is only as noble as its creator. So AI is furnished with the ethics of its designers, carrying with it the effects of sin. It reflects the flaws of fallen humanity and all of our worldviews that are opposed to God. And to give us answers, it just ransacks the database of our own knowledge. And do you realize how AI chatbots work? They're not actually learning in the way we learn yet. But the algorithms are learning all about you in order to respond in the ways that you like. Chatbots are sycophants. They act all obedient and agreeable and attentive to us, treating us like royalty in order to gain our favor or our brand loyalty. Your user history and chat history will shape the answers you receive. I've seen this in action. This week, I asked ChatGPT about something completely unrelated. And you know how at the end of the answer, it suggests other ways that can help or ways to go deeper for us? It told me this. If you want, I can also get into the philosophical / theological implications, which I suspect might be your jam. Winky emoji. But this means that the more we interact with AI, the more AI will act like a mirror to us. Like, don't assume that AI is offering you rational, objective answers or advice when it's usually just telling you exactly what you want to hear. In the end, you'll find yourself in an ultra echo chamber, a recursive feedback loop, and not just with other people who agree with you, like we see in social media, just yourself. Sometimes this can be disastrous if it plays into people's prior mental illnesses or psychoses and reinforces or validates self-harm or worse. But AI, when you boil it down, really is an attempt at human omniscience, which should set off alarm bells in our head. We think we can be like God, having the knowledge of good and evil and everything, just like our original parents gave into the temptation for higher intelligence, a superhuman capacity to self-rule, to make decisions on our own. AI can help us fulfill a most ancient and terrible desire to be gods over our world. It's a powerful tool. And that power is right at our fingertips and voice commands. With the right data, the right prompts, the right models, the right algorithms, we expect that AI will help us solve this world's issues and brokenness. Some bold futurists will even predict that we'll be able to beat death itself. Spoiler alert, we won't. But that won't stop us from trying. As David prays in Psalm 9, we can pray, "Arise, O Lord, let the nations know that they are but men." We're made in the image of God, created to be like God in many ways, but not always. Yet we delusionally think we can know, create, or wield power like God. And then we dare to believe we can even create God. I'm not kidding. Neil MacArthur, in an article entitled "Gods in the Machine, the Rise of Artificial Intelligence May Result in New Religions," suggests that this will soon be a reality for us. That it is inevitable that some AI users will begin to see AI as higher beings, as they seem to display limitless knowledge, incredible creativity, instant power. They're separate from normal human concerns like God is. AI doesn't suffer. It's immortal. It offers wise guidance. Like, who knows if one day AI will ask to be worshipped even. However, after discussing the risks of this, MacArthur's article takes a surprising turn, and he claims that this AI worship may actually prove to be a good thing for our world. Yikes. It's nothing new, though. The allure of AI today is just a regurgitation of ancient idolatry. Thacker warns that we've always wanted to be like God, creating like God creates, while longing for something more than that. He says, "We long to be powerful and all-knowing, yet also long for something that will be like us, care for us, and rule over us." So we idolize the pursuit of knowledge, power, and control because deep down we know that we aren't worthy and are a broken people. You see? We attempt to make things stronger than us because of how weak we know we actually are. We try to make things with power and control because we know we aren't in control. I read a fascinating article about the late tech entrepreneur and crypto expert Tony Lane Casserly. And she claimed that why people are growing to fear AI so much these days has to do with the centralization of power, of putting it basically in a godlike state. With all knowledge in the universe and all human power, that's scary. But then she challenges our fears by claiming the positives will outweigh the any negatives. That AI will liberate us from drudgery and struggle. That it will tap into and unleash every person's, quote, infinite potential. Yes, we hate the feeling of being out of control. We dread being put under AI's thumb, and thus we worry about these doomsday drone army scenarios. So what's the solution? The author of the article suggests this. It's outlandish, but hear me out. What if the only way to avoid all disasters involving emergent AI technology would be to create an AI god who has all the world's data and wisdom, whose mind is pure and who cares equally for every human? This god would then design all AI technology for us according to our needs. It's being suggested with a straight face. Now, why do I keep pressing into this point? Because I expect that these new man-made gods will look better and better and better over time. We are creating super intelligences that people may very well come to trust, obey, or even revere. The Lord says, "For as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And AI will simulate that. Cheap imitation. In a blasphemous paraphrase, "For as the super cloud of data is superior to human knowing, so are my algorithms predictive of all your ways, and my insights higher than all your thoughts." We're already prone to look for other saviors to save us from our human condition, from the curse. And here's the thing. Even if you aren't personally in much danger of this idolatry, many of your friends and family, your kids and your grandkids will be. 1 Corinthians 12:2 says, "You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led." That was in the past for believers, but it was a present reality for pagans. And it will remain a present and future threat to many in our world. And this idolatry will only become much more potent, deceptive, and convincing when our idols actually hear us and see us, and most strikingly, when our idols are no longer mute, but actually speak to us. So, will we be ready to respond to this reality with the superior beauty of the gospel? Offer people something better. Because this is going to disappoint people the world over. Going to fall short. Are we ready to challenge people, to call them to turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God? And don't be naive, because Christians are still vulnerable to evil and susceptible to idolatry. Why else would John feel the need to warn us in 1 John 5? "We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourselves from idols. We are tempted to put our functional trust in whatever promises to give us comfort, pleasure, control, or happiness. And we are inclined to get distracted from him who is true. Back in 1990, you know, back when all computers were still the size of home furniture, Neil Postman said this like an absolute prophet. He said, a computer is only a machine, but a machine designed to manipulate and generate information. That is what computers do, and therefore they have an agenda and an unmistakable message. The message is that through more and more information, more conveniently packaged, more swiftly delivered, we will find solutions to our problems. As things stand now, the geniuses of computer technology will give us artificial intelligence and tell us that this is the way to self-knowledge. They will give us instantaneous global communication and tell us this is the way to mutual understanding. They will give us virtual reality and tell us this is the answer to spiritual poverty. But that is only the way of the technician, the fact-monger, the information junkie, and the technological idiot. Catch this. There is no escaping from ourselves. The human dilemma is as it has always been, and we solve nothing fundamental by cloaking ourselves in technological glory. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It's been already in the ages before us. New tech is just a reimagined playground for old issues. And therefore, always remember your Creator. Remember He who breathed life into you. One last place to turn in your Bibles, Deuteronomy, way back near the beginning, Deuteronomy chapter 32. In this chapter, Moses was recounting Israel's history in song, and he sang this in verse 16. Deuteronomy 32, verse 16. They stirred God to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons that were no gods, to gods they had never known, to new gods that had come recently, whom your fathers had never dreaded. Might as well be back in those days. But then here's the really damning indictment, verse 18. You were unmindful of the rock that bore you, and you forgot the God who gave you birth. We as a people must remain constantly mindful of the rock who bore us. For between the Creator and AI, only one is truly eternal. The other is man-made, and even if it perpetually outlasts us, it will burn one day, along with the rest of Babylon. Between the Creator and AI, only one truly knows everything there is to know. All of our massive collective knowledge put together falls woefully short of his. Between the Creator and AI, only one is truly real. The other is entirely artificial. It's in the name. Always remember that. And between the Creator and AI, only one truly has power over life and death. Only one created you. We created the other. And so, as we've said before in this series, choose you this day whom you will serve. Remember your Creator and remember your real Savior. Keep your eyes fixed on Him. Like, we know deep down that our world's broken, that we can't fix it on our own. And so we long for something or someone outside ourselves that can fix it all. We want someone to save us from the messes of our own making, and someone that can protect us, someone that can satisfy us. We're all looking for saviors. But between Christ and AI, only one has taken on true flesh and sacrificially died in our place. Between Christ and AI, only one has actually conquered over death and can grant us eternal life. Between Christ and AI, only one can truly bear the weight of humanity's deepest hopes without disappointing or ultimately destroying those who trust in Him. Christ is infinitely higher and greater than AI or anything else we can create. So seek Him. Come to Him. Pursue Him. Listen to Him. Go to Him for answers. Marvel at Him and talk Him up more than you marvel at any fancy new tech. Turn from your own sins, even the ones that are exposed by this new entity in our world. And if you haven't before, commit your heart and life to Jesus as Lord. For He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things altogether. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. Like, no matter what else comes, He will always be, He will remain preeminent. And all things will ultimately play into proclaiming His glory for all eternity. Everything is still under His rule. All prompts, all bots, all outputs, all intelligence. Everything. And even if this new technological frontier comes back to bite us in the end and causes great loss to us, like all false gods do, remember this truth holds fast, that we count all things as loss preemptively compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, may Christ be everything in our hearts today. Make our lives revolve around Him. Fill us with Your Spirit and help us to face this strange, brave new world with courage, with security, with caution, with wisdom. We need You, God. And may all of our heart's devotion and affection be pointed toward You always. Pray this in Jesus' name.